either to do something or not to do something. I have resolved to do this thing. I've made a resolution. It doesn't mean it's done, but you've made a firm decision that that's what I'm going to do. Okay? That's my best Webster's on that word. But there's something that the reason that we come together and the reason that we gather like this is to help strengthen that resolve. Strengthen that resolve. A few seconds ago when I had you raise your hand, I hope there was a revelation that all of a sudden some of you realized, hey, I'm not the only one here. But then when you grabbed the hand of another person, that's strengthening the resolve. There should be something that comes out of this pulpit that is God's word that strengthens your resolve. That there should be something, some tool that you are able to put into your life. How to work it out this week. So another thought that my mind is my resolve is strengthened. That we're moving forward in this direction. And I'm not going to quit. And I'm not going to stop. And I'm not the only one. And I'm going to make it because I have a way maker. Amen? We've been in this scripture for 3 weeks now. This is the fourth week. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Before it said that, in verse 8 it said, owe no one anything except to love one another. There's this a big thing about this. If you'll start loving other people, you're going to have an easier time moving forward in your resolution to serve God. If you ever have problems loving people, it's going to be impossible to make the destination that God has set aside for you. Because that's one of his big things is loving each other. Amen? Okay, so I want to do this. I want to look at James chapter 4. And I'm going to tie in last week into this week. Verses 1 through 6. Pick up in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Ooh. I'm sorry. I'm in James chapter 1. Y'all are like, where's he at? But that'll preach right there. To a guy who holds a hammer, everything starts looking like a nail. Chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. It almost sounds like all you had to do was ask and you'd get it. But hold on. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. This is what we were talking about last week. It's not that you don't pray, but your prayer can include a list for God to fulfill. Your prayer is not, I'm going to tell God what he needs to do. Your prayers are communication with God, but they're also a consultation with God. God, this is the situation. What do you say about it? Because out of that, you get your marching orders. Then it comes down to this. simple obedience. Will I do what his word says to do? You can always tell if you should do it or not because his word will back it up. Adulterers and adulteresses. Man, it gets mean quick, doesn't it? It gets truthful quick. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What he's saying, right, the reason he's saying it so strong right there, adulteresses and adulterers, that's strong language. I mean, there's no gray line right there. He comes out and calls you that. Because this is, he's being so honest, he's helping you see a picture right here. Adultery happens when you join yourself to anything else than your beloved one. And this is what he's saying, there's consequences. Because in that intimacy, things come together. We talked about that last week. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's the consequence. So he says this, if you join yourself to that, you had to turn away from me. At a young age, my son this week, in the middle, right before he went to bed, he had this thing happen. When your kid comes up to you and their chin starts quivering. That's tough for a little boy. It's tough for my little boy. He's not a big crier. So I know when I see that, something's going on. And he said this. He said, Dad, do you think that since God knows everything, that one day he knows that I'm not going to make it to heaven because I'm going to do something I shouldn't do? Ooh, deep. Too deep. I was like, oh, son, we're just going to stay up here in the kiddie pool and just splash water. You went all the way to the deep end. And I comforted him about as best I could. It took me about a whole day, like him being at school the next day. That thing just, when you don't have a lot up here, certain thoughts just bounce around in there. Ding, 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 ding. I'm like, God, help me with this. This is chin-quivering 12-year-old stuff I need an answer for. And this is what the Lord showed me. Talk about y'all's relationship. Try to get him get a picture of y'all's relationship. As I told him after, I said, son, would I ever throw you out? Would I ever cut this off? Would I ever deny you? And he started doing what he's doing right now because he knows that. We're tight like that, ain't we, buddy? But he said, I said, what would it take? What would it take for that to happen? It would take you leaving me so he could see the big picture. It helped. It's going to take you turning away from God. Goes to scripture, but John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Come on, say it with me, his only begotten son. That whosoever, look at your neighbor and say, that's you. You are a who. You're not at Whoville, you're at Christ Fellowship. But you're a who. Whosoever believeth in him. That puts the onus on you. That brings it right back to where it's supposed to be, on you. On you. Whoever therefore, verse 4, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You do it to yourself. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? There's a scripture that another translation says, lusteth to envy. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we were talking about putting on God, putting on Jesus, putting on the Lord Jesus, like a vesture, like putting him on everywhere you go. You realize it's not him. And I had my suitcase in here. I mean, is that right? The suitcase. I had a big suitcase, and inside of that I had a little backpack, and inside of that backpack, I told you I had my go bag. I had everything I need to put on inside of that little go bag. And what was in there? The Bible. Because I can put on the Word of God. Scripture says that I can do that. So we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that we don't fulfill the lust that we have. So we don't do the bad stuff that we want to do. And he says this, that the lust are a destination. That there's a place that your body wants to go. You got to control your mind so that you don't end up there. But you don't pack anything for it. And we talked about this for the last 3 weeks. Unpacking the things that would get me to the bad place so that I can get to the good place. And the whole time, this is what he's telling us. Put on. He's telling you, put it on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's waiting on your garment to change. And then it says this. He says, he resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. To the ones that put him on, he gives grace. But he resisteth the proud. Now the word to resist right there is actually in the context of a military term, where God actually arrays himself in a garment for battle against you. So God is saying this, and this is where we ended up last week. God is saying, put it on, put it on, put it on, and if you won't put it on, then I'll put on something. God says this, change your clothes, and if you don't change your clothes, I will change my clothes. Do you see that? He will begin to resist you. It's a bad place to be. Nobody wants to be there. Now, how do we do this? How do we resolve this thing out? How do we make a firm decision to do things and to not do things? I'm so glad that you asked. Look at 2 Peter, the first chapter. Because we went here, but we got to do some more work. Just a couple pages over where you were just at. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now let's just start at the beginning. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So we talked about that. We said he's given us everything that we need. His word says that he's given us everything to need. He says he's given it to us, everything we need, by his divine power. And we deduce this. There's no weakness in his divine power, right? And if he's given me everything that I need, right? Didn't it say that? Then the question has to pop up. Why do I still have so much need? Think about it. He has said, his divine power has given me everything that I need. Does anybody in this room still have some need? Why? It goes on to explain that. Through the knowledge of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's called us through his own knowledge and by his own glory and virtue. So that's where the weakness is at, of my knowledge of him. So I've got to know him. Tell your neighbor, you got to know him. By which we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, we've been talking about lust and getting rid of those things in our life that corrupt us and keep us from making the journey. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, we talked about that word, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now, this is what you got to remember. I got to come back and hit this. This is after you've been saved. He talks about a process after you come to Christ. Now it's time to start adding things to your life. And out of that list, we came to this conclusion. Anybody that hits all of those, everybody would want to work with that kind of person. Everybody would want to be friends with that kind of person. Everybody would want that kind of person on their team. But it's real easy in Christendom to capitalize on one or two of those things and hide behind those things. To have a couple of good things down. To have a couple of things that you're able to do that look good to all the other Christians. But let something happen and one of those areas that you're struggling in pop up in your life. Then all of a sudden, you don't look so holy anymore. Let me dig in. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. This is what you need to remember about your past. You were forgiven of it. And you need to remember this about your past. You got one. Yes, I was forgiven, but yes, I got a pass. Look at your neighbor. They got a pass too. They're forgiven too. Okay? Therefore, I had to read all of that so I could say the rest of this. When you see a therefore in your Bible, you've got to say all those things that he just said is so that he can say this. So buckle up for the goodie, because here comes, you had to sit through all of that so that you get to this. Now here's the opposite. When somebody butters you up and they say, you know, I like you, you know, I would never do anything to hurt your feelings, but forget everything that they just said. This is the start of what they really want you to know. This is what the therefore is for. This is not a but. This is a therefore. Sometimes you just need to realize the difference between a but and a therefore. That was free, by the way. No charge for that part. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. So this is where he really wants you to focus in on. Those things, give all diligence. What he's saying, this is a process. It's going to take your whole life to be right in all of these areas. It's going to take your whole life because you're going to have to give attention to these all the time. But he made it like that so that your whole life will be spent working on you. Because if we ever got us, we'd be starting working on everybody around us. And that's his job, not ours. So just work on me. Just say that. So just work on me. But now he's saying this. Now be more diligent. This is another level to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. This is what we talked about. Stop stumbling through your Christian walk. It's not his will for you to stumble through your Christian walk. You're here today because you want to do better, right? You're here to grab some tools that'll help you do better. He doesn't want to see you say, hey, Peter, Paul, James, all 12 of y'all, get over here and look at him. Look at John. He's trying to give a watch, because I know all things. I'm God. Watch. I told you he's going to mess up. It's impossible. That'd be crazy. But that's what we're saying when we act like we can't make it, when we act like we can't do this. He is for you. Have you ever noticed this about God's word, and all of a sudden he hits one of those places, and I've used it like this, where you're good at, you're like, amen, yeah. But one of those areas that you're not so good at, you're like, things get a little tight. Things start getting tight. When things get tight, this is what you got to realize about God. He's not calling you out. You ever feel like God's just calling you out on something? He's calling you up. God's not calling you out. God is calling you up higher. Why? Because that's where he's at. He's Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. He's calling you up because he's up. Sometimes you need to see things from up there so that it'll make sense to you. And if you're always thinking, well, there he goes calling me out again, then you're not going to get there. You're not ready for this. That's why there's diligent, there's saved, and then there's adding to, there's diligence, and then there's more diligence for those that want to go higher. Do you know what? Even in school these days, they've got regular classes, and they got advanced classes, and they got college prep classes. You know what that is? That's based on abilities. And sometimes it's not even based on ability. It's based on a kid that really wants to do more. Where's that kid at? That's the one I want to hire, the one that's self-motivated. Like, you want to do more than just 2 + 2? Well, come over here. Let's learn about the square root. And I'm speaking in tongues because I don't know any of that. Amen. The struggle's real. We're gonna make. Okay, so here's where we're at. To make your call. Your call is simply your vocation. Ephesians 4:1 says to walk worthy of it. It's one thing to get the job, but then you got to do the work. You know what America's at? One of our problems right now, we all want a raise, but more money comes with more expectations. And I used to be an employee. I'm a manager now. I ain't got to work so hard. Who said? You ever seen somebody that got moved into a position that they just can't hack it? I got to move them back down and take one of them self-motivated people and put them up there. Everybody wants more, but sometimes we don't want to do the work that it takes to get more. And he's saying, you who want more, come on. All y'all that want more, come on. And then there's a little line that trickles. See, he says, now all y'all that want money, knocking down chairs to get behind me that. But all right, but it's going to require some work, little line. You want more money? Everybody's behind. You want to prove that you deserve it, and I'll continue to give you more? Little line. And God says this. He said, you ask. He's saying, it's not that you didn't pray. You prayed your will instead of his will. I've been guilty. Anybody else ever been guilty of it? It's easy to do. Somebody really close to me, close enough that I can call them out. Somebody said something not too long ago to me. Said, you know, I just don't know about people that go into hospital rooms and they say, well, I'm just going to pray the Lord's will. He said, that's a cop-out. They don't know. They don't know what to pray, and they're afraid to believe and pray with any power, so they're just going to say, God, your will be done. Like that handles it. I just let it, because they had laid me open, and I'm just sitting there bleeding. But I love them, and I know that they know I love them, and I know that in their life my words are important to them, and their words are important to me. They're not silly or foolish. They measure things, but this is a time when we're going to sharpen some iron right here, because I told them, I'm going to tell you about what you just said, the hardest prayer I ever prayed was that prayer that you said was a cop-out. You called that prayer a cop-out. Because I prayed with my head, and I prayed with my heart, and I prayed in his spirit. I prayed in tongues. I prayed every way I knew to pray. But the final prayer I prayed over my daughter before she left this world was, God, your will, not mine. And that was never a cop-out. That was a prayer I didn't want to pray. I prayed all the other prayers, didn't we, honey? Can't look at you right now. Make it sure. Make your calling, make your election sure. Your election is when you've been picked out. You've been selected. It's that which is chosen. Acts 9:15, he's talking about Paul there, and he says, Paul is a vessel chosen unto me. You got to look at yourself as a vessel that God can use. You got to really understand this. You're made out of clay. It's possible for your pot to have a crack in it. Crack pot. This is what he says. You got to be able, as clay, to go back on the wheel. Let the master's hand. And then, when he does that, put you back into the fire again. See, we didn't want it. Little line. How many of you want all my benefits? Big line. I got trampled. I got killed. They trampled me. How many of you want to admit that you got a crack in your pot? You can't hold nothing. He wanted you to be a vessel, but you can't hold nothing. A vessel has a purpose. It can hold something. Can't hold nothing. Got a crack in your pot. Little line, get back on the wheel, little line. Let me mold you and make you again, little line. Line getting shorter and shorter. Let me put you back into the fire, little bitty line. But you're going to come out as something that I can use. Because you went through something. Anybody ever been through something with God? Anybody ever fail God? That's what we do. We fail him all the time. We act like we don't, but we fail him all the time. That's the difference in us and him. He's God. We're not. Every one of us. So he's saying this. I've chosen you. And he said, this is your part. Make your calling and election sure. The elect isn't just the church collectively. It's the church individually. So when he says make the election sure, he's not saying give the body of Christ a checkup. He's saying give you a checkup out of the body because you're a part of the whole body. Imagine this. Let's imagine it like this. I saw these cups back there. I said, I'm going to use y'all. All right, we're walking into God's pantry. Let me pick little Brent up. So we're walking in the pantry. Let's open the door and imagine that little Brent. Get back over there. Yeah, unruly thing. So we're opening up his pantry. We're walking into God's pantry. And this is God. I think I can use little Brent. There's times he had cracks, old scars, holes, couldn't hold nothing. Let me go back into my pantry and let me pull out this one, little Brent. See, Y'all weren't expecting little Brent to get it. Because if we're not careful, we'll call this Brent. Not realizing that he can put you back on and make you usable again. I'm talking to somebody. Your election refers not to the church collectively, but to the individuals constituting it, the church. I gotta stop. I gotta stop. That's enough. If you've been on the wheel, this is the place for you. If you've got a crack in the pot, this is the place for you. He's got a pantry that he just wants to use, and he calls you a vessel. And when he's through, he'll call you a vessel. And when he's through, he'll call you a vessel. He'll use you, and you'll be just as usable that time as you ever were. Now, you might look back and feel like, oh, God, I'm the guy that messed up. And you're calling me this, but I know I'm that. That's the God that we serve. If you want to stay, give me that busted up one. If you want to stay that your whole Christian walk, he said, I'm trying to fix it where you don't stumble anymore. He said, stop being him. I don't see you like this. I'm trying to look at you like that.
I just wanted to say, I feel like sometimes we despise our cracks. And we try to hide them from each other. We try to hide them from God. We try to hide them from everyone. And I see the most powerful picture when I think of God. When someone in this world needs Jesus, we are his hands and his feet. We are the vessel. So when someone is addicted to drugs, God looks in his pantry and he says, who had those cracks? Who did I heal from that? Oh, right there. I still see the crack down the side. But they can carry the anointing of my healing, and he uses them. But if we're trying to always put super glue on them and make them look like we're not what we are, unfortunately, in this world, we are going to be able to minister to grieving parents who have buried their children. Do I want that to be my hallmark and my crack? I don't. But I gladly put myself on the wheel. And I might still have some holes right now that he's still healing. But when he's ready, he's going to go and he's going to look and he's going to say, who has that crack? Who did I put back together from that? The Morgans. Let's send them. Let's send them to be my healing. Let's send them to carry the oil of his healing. I can't carry oil when there's holes all in me. But when I've let God heal me, he can pour out the oil. Only he can do that. He will crush pride, as Pastor said. He resists the proud, but to the humble he draws near. So when we just humble ourselves and let him walk in the pantry, and we're proud of the scars and we're proud of the cracks, and we know that he's the one that gets the glory for the healing, that's when he unleashes the healing power through me and through you. So embrace your cracks. Embrace them. Thank God for healing them, but don't try to hide them. It's how we keep replenishing God's oil of healing to each other.
Oh, that's so good. So come on up, Christine. We'll close. The word when Isaiah, super prophet. I mean, you want to know a prophet, look at Isaiah. Woo! We're like, wow, he's awesome. But Isaiah said this. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. He starts describing what he sees. And it's awesome. And it's just holy, holy. The angels are proclaiming, holy, holy. The Lord God Almighty, wasn't it? The doorposts of heaven are shaking as they're saying, holy. And God says to himself, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean. Where's my cup? Boy, you've been tearing it up. Oh, man, Lord, help me get through this. Isaiah says, God says, who will go for us? Isaiah said, I'm this guy. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. You know what he was saying with that? He was saying, I am those people that attend Christ Fellowship Church. The people that say, I can be good on Sunday, but when I go back, I got all these people that are bad and I fall into being like them. But he makes an excuse for himself. He wasn't lying. This was God. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a bunch of people just like this. I fit on the shelf with a bunch of crackpots. And it says the angel of the Lord went to the fire. Little line. And it says he took a coal off the altar. And it said it flew to him. And it touched them on their lips. He touched that coal to their lips so that their lips would be healed. My mouth is what guides me. I'm going to get into a whole other sermon, James 3. The tongue, it has the power to steer the whole ship. So he took the coal and touched it to my lips. Then what did Isaiah said? Dun, da, da, da. God send me. All of a sudden, just like that, God touched his lips. Now he can go. He's like marching orders. He was the guy, not me. God, I'm a mess. And then with one touch, dun, 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 send me. But what did it take? What did it take? He said it in the beginning, in the year that King Uzziah died. Christine just said, pride. You got to shake the pride off. You got to get the pride off. Here's in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah is a Hebrew word interpreted pride. That's the word it is interpreted to. Interpretation of Uzziah is pride. Uzziah means pride. In the year, now let's say it like that. In the year that pride died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. See, he never drops off of his conditions. God says, this is what takes. Pride's got to die. Let me tell you something about your pride. You know what your pride means? It only means something to you. It doesn't mean anything to anybody else. That's a good revelation. I feel like I run aisles on that one. We make so much of pride, and nobody cares about your pride but you.
That's right.
And you can pray for it, and you can ask for it, because he said, you ask and you don't receive. You don't receive because you don't ask, but when you do ask, you ask it for your way because of pride. And a year can take place. And a year can take place, and years can take place, and decades. A decade can take place, and decades can take place. And all this stuff God wanted to do way back there till you finally reach a year when pride died. Pride died early for this one. Pride died early for this one. I'm speaking that over these boys. Pride died early for these boys. I'm speaking it in Jesus' name. I wish my pride would have died then. You know what my pride was? My pride was on life support. And I kept saying, don't pull the plug on it. 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 Keep resuscitating it. Keep resuscitating it. Keep it alive. And God's got, I got all this. I can change your vessel like that. But pride's got to die. Or you won't ever be able to hold nothing. His stuff is too precious to give it to you to be to waste it. David, who messed up everything, he said this, my cup runneth over. How's that possible? Because God kept pouring. You got to get a picture of a God that's bigger than you. You're the cup. God will just keep pouring. You know why? If you're that kind of person where God, you get right under his spout. I said you could spend a lifetime getting those things added to your life. But there are some people, I think they got them added to their life. And I want to be real close to them. And I'm like, I want to be close to them because there's so much going into them. Overflow. You ever been around people that's got overflow going on in their life? There's a big line of people that wants to be close to them, but when you get really close to those people, you get what they got. Jesus said that this is why he wants you to be close. I know I'm going long, but he says, not only are you heirs, you're joint heirs. In other words, what's coming to me is going to you. But you got to get in that place. And you can't get the recipient, the inheritance. You might be an heir, but you won't ever get the inheritance until somebody dies. Jesus is already dead. What about you? Spiritually dead. I lay my life down, Lord, so that I can live the life that you have for me. It always comes down to decision. It always comes down to simple obedience. It always comes back to this, just simple obedience. Will you obey? I have come that you might have life. I wish I had a pot of water right now, but don't anybody go get it. Y'all are so kind. You would somebody go get it. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It's pouring, 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 pouring. That's you if you'll let it be. That's you. Formerly scarred, but through the fire. Formerly scarred, but through the fire. Couldn't hold. There was a time I couldn't hold nothing. That time is not now. Some of you need to get under his spout and say, God, let it pour, let it pour. Some of you need to say, God, put me back on the wheel. Let pride die. That's you. That's such an intimate thing. That's such a real thing. And just like I said a little while ago, I bet you there's more of us who need to let pride die. Just let it die. I'm not going to ask for hands because God already knows. Asking for hands right now would just tell your neighbor, it's me, but God already knows it's me. It's me. I'll raise my hand. God, leave my pride to die. I got some pride. And you're going to kill your pride. You'll let your pride. In the year that pride died, pride will still try to resurrect itself. Oh, man, it's a self-healing little rascal. Just sweet gum trees. My friend showed me on his property the other day, sweet gum trees that had dropped, and he'd poisoned them. He had drilled a hole and put poison in them. Now they were falling over. And he said, you know what? They got something inside of them sweet gum trees. Even out of that state, they'll come back. There's something in their roots that they'll come back. That sounds just like pride to me. Pride. Can you just say, God, let it die. Kill my pride. Just say, kill my pride. I believe there's a warring angel that wants to kill that in you if you'll let him kill it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Kill my pride. Kill all of my pride. It didn't matter to anybody else. It only mattered to me anyway. I've let my pride deceive me. It's held me back. It's made what you wanted to put inside of me. You couldn't even put it there because it would have leaked out. Lord, take the coal from off of your altar and bring it to my lips and kill the pride inside of me and heal my lips so that I will be healed. In Jesus' name. Just that simple. In Jesus' name. Let your coal from your altar come and heal my lips. Anoint my lips and heal me and kill my pride in Jesus' name so that I can be the vessel inside of your pantry that you go to and you look at me and say, oh yes, I can use that chosen vessel. I chose him. He made his calling and election sure. Yes, I chose him, but he turned around and made it sure. She turned around and made that election sure. Jesus. Somebody's going to walk out of here lighter today. Somebody's going to walk out of here unburdened today. Somebody's not going to carry out what you carried in. Somebody's rolling off a burden to the Lord right now. That wasn't your burden anyway. The Lord's trying to say to you, just roll, let me have it. Let me have it. Like a gentleman does for a lady whenever you see her carrying a heavy load and say, let me get that for you. Let me get that for you. Chivalry's not dead. Thank you, Lord. Can you just thank that God right now? Thank your God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I might have had cracks, God, but I'm going back on your will. Your hands are going to be what touches me and forms me and makes me. And you take your water and you smooth out those places in me. We've all got to go back on the will. Every one of us. In Jesus' name, help us to go there. Help us, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I just want you to agree with somebody right now. Take a hand again and agree with them right now. Agree with them. Let them know they're not alone.